You're listening to episode 227 of Women Worldwide. Are you reaching your full potential? What does this even mean? And how would you find your flow and feel more fulfilled? What steps would you take? I've got a guest today who's going to share her approach and advice with you. So stay tuned to learn more.
Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thanks so much for showing up and for listening. And maybe you're watching on YouTube, you're sharing. So we know you're caring and you're helping to grow our network. And we really appreciate it. You're letting us know that our guests are sharing really helpful advice and actionable tips. And that's helping you to fuel your passion and to power up your own voice. Our goal has always been to create impact and make a difference every story, one at a time. And speaking of stories, I've got a great guest today. So we're going to dive into our topic, which is reaching your full potential. So I ask you, are you reaching your full potential? Do you even know what that means? Is reaching full potential something that's maybe you're thinking about and it's in your distant future? Well, I've got a guest today, Sheila Murphy, who is joining me on the show, and I'll share a little bit about Sheila. She spent a really long time in corporate America. She was a senior legal counsel at a Fortune 50 company. Talk about high pressure woman in business. Sheila was training teams, building leaders and strong talent. And she also, over her career, knew what clients were looking for in their lawyers and their law firms. Now, today, Sheila is a coach and a career consultant. She specializes in working with lawyers and firms to help them reach their full potential, meaning building a book of business, developing their networks, and their reputations. Sheila is also the founder of Focus Forward LLC, and she's here to share her story with you. So Sheila, welcome. It's great to have you on the show.
Oh, I'm so thrilled to be here.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. And let's start with, you know, I mentioned that you spent a lot of time as a senior legal counsel. How do you get from corporate America, Fortune 50, to what you're doing today?
As you mentioned, I spent a lot of time in a Fortune 50 company in a senior role. And while I was there, I realized that I was not being challenged anymore. And part of one of my core beliefs is that you always have to learn and challenge yourself to get to that next level. And I found myself stagnating a little bit. So I started to think about what I wanted to do next in my career. So I spent a lot of time talking to my network, thinking about what I am good at and what I love to do, because having spent over 20 years in corporate America, I was ready for a change.
Yeah, that's a long time.
It's a very long time. And making transitions or switches like this don't happen overnight. And I think that's sometimes one of the mistakes people make when they're thinking about a transition, is not taking the time to sort of do the homework
right,
in terms of how to best switch over. So, and in doing the self-awareness and talking to people, I realized if you look at the core of my being and my purpose, it was to help people develop and empower and educate them to reach their full potential, whatever that was. And so I thought about how I could bring that forward in the next stage of my career. And that's what sort of brought me on this journey.
So that's, I mean, if you think about the name of your business, right, Focus Forward, really says what you did for yourself. And oh, go ahead.
No, and the reason I came up with the name was there was a day when I was thinking about this and I was like, is it going to work? Do I have this? And I just said, I'm going to just focus on going forward, focus forward. And I was like, well, that could be the name. And that's how it was born.
Which isn't always easy. I mean, I think that's one of the things that, you know, sometimes when you're in a particular role, it's a lot easier to solve the challenges and to focus forward on maybe somebody else. But when you have to do it for yourself, there's a lot of digging. So was it, you know, when you launched your business, did things come together right away or did they sort of unfold a little bit slowly?
It's been a mixture of both. I would say because I was strategic about taking that time to think about what my next chapter was, I started laying some of the groundwork ahead of time in terms of where I spoke and how I was branding myself in social media and talking to and developing the right network so that when I launched my business, I had certain people, things lined up that I walked right into. But you're always trying to grow and, you know, have a bigger impact. And so with that, I am still using my network and my branding. And if you're doing it every day, and, you know, I'm one of those people who's never satisfied. And I'm a real type A. So I just want to be better and better and be able to help more people.
Now, did that type A personality help you when you were actually in corporate America? And how was it easy for you or tough being a woman in the legal field?
Being a woman in the legal field, whether it's in corporate America or law firms, it's gotten better. It's been it's been a tough road. We have a long way to go. The numbers still aren't where they should be. There's still a lot of unconscious bias that is impacting women in terms of the assignments that they're given. The ability to get sponsors. It's not as easy as it is for a man. And if you look especially at law firms, which is one of the places I do a lot of work, the pay equity gap in the last couple of years has actually gotten worse, not better. It's a very tough thing for a woman to break into. And part of it, women's rates are lower than men's. Maybe because of the fields of law that they go into. So they're not bringing in a lot of money and they don't own the clients or own their own business or own their own career, as I would put it, so that they don't get as much credit. And those two things have made a dramatic impact on the pay difference. And like I said, in the last 2 years where we thought it was getting better in some of the larger firms, we've actually seen an increase of probably 14% in the gap.
So is this something that women themselves within an organization, do you feel that they can change to be recognized, or is this just so systemic that it's hard to do it alone?
I actually talk about, I think there are two ways we have to attack this issue. One is the macro issues, how the firms organize, how they give out assignments, the mentorships, sponsorships. And then, and also even feedback. Women are given different types of feedback than men. It's not as specific and it's less actionable. So it actually hurts you in moving forward. And also the words that are in reviews, we've seen there's some evidence that the words are a little softer. So when you're two people are up for promotion and you look at the words, it seems like the guy's done a lot more than the woman. So these are things that can be hit on a macro level, both at law firms and probably in corporate America overall. Sure. And then on the other side, what you have are some micro things, which is where I try to help women in terms of individual coaching, is a lot of times we don't want to sell ourselves. We like to stay behind the desk and do our work, and we don't get out and get known and do the branding and the networking that is so critical, whether you are in corporate America or a law firm, for success. I mean, the biggest indicator of a successful person is the strength of their network, you know, and it should be
That's
both.
A great point.
Yeah. So without a network, you're limited in anything. And if you just think of yourself as a legal technician or a financial technician or whatever your field is, and you're not building that network, you're already putting guideposts around your career so that you won't get outside those.
Right. I just want you to back up. You mentioned a mentor versus a sponsor. Mm-hmm. So can you clarify the difference between the two, just for folks who are listening or watching?
Okay. A mentor is someone who you go to and say, we're going to say, you know, can, will you be my mentor? And you get advice. And sometimes it's not, the words aren't said. A sponsor is someone who is going to move your career forward. They are someone who's going to speak for you when you're not in the room. They're going to put you up for opportunities. They are going to say, put your name in when there's a promotion. A mentor is going to give you some nice advice. And you may get some advice from a sponsor.
Right.
But it's, they go, they will put their own reputation on the line for you, which a mentor does not have to do. And the empirical evidence out there is that a sponsor is more impactful on women and people of color's careers than a mentor. Mentors are good to have. You should have them. But having a sponsor really propels your careers. And it's not something you can ask someone to be.
I was just going to ask that question, Sheila. I was just going to say, how do you get a sponsor? Is it a stated, you know, are you asking somebody?
It's really, you got to, for someone to invest in your career, they have to believe that you're going to go 100% or 120%. You can have conversations with people about, you know, why they maybe didn't put you in for a role, but it really is harder. I know of some programs where it's non-organic sponsorship, but for me as a, you know, a senior executive, for me to say, I'm going to use my reputation for someone I don't know, or I haven't seen in that context, it's much harder.
Sure.
But a mentor can turn into a sponsor. And you may also want to try to develop both some in your organization and some outside, because, you know, one, sponsors leave. They go, you know, they have careers too.
Sure.
And two, you may be at some point wanting an opportunity outside of the company. And outside the company, people get you opportunities like, you know, speaking engagements, panels, articles, put you up for committees if they're important associations, you know, in your career, whether like, I know the actuaries have a lot of, you know, National Association of Actuaries. So these are the types of things a sponsor does for you. And sometimes you don't even know what's going on. But it's really critical to try to find a sponsor because it will make such a difference in your career.
Yes, no, that's great advice. So reaching your full potential, you definitely mentioned the networking part of it. And what happens, you know, getting out there is a part of networking. And that is a choice. What would you say to somebody who is a little bit nervous or feels like they don't have the confidence to walk into the room for the type of networking that helps you to reach your full potential?
It's just a meeting. It's just another human being. It's a conversation. Networking doesn't have to be that scary. And it, you know, give yourself a small goal at an event, and then you'll see that it gets better and better. Or join, like I said, a professional organization and get on a committee and do some work. And then it seems maybe seem more natural to you. And networking isn't always like going to the big conferences. It is reaching out to someone for a cup of coffee to learn something more about the profession. Or, though I have friends who hate the cup of coffee, or doing a virtual cup of coffee on the phone.
Right, or Skype.
Or Skype. It doesn't have to be a big thing. And it's maybe asking a friend, do you know someone who's sort of done this? And it's a 2-minute, like almost, I call them sort of touch point mentoring sessions, because that's all it is. But it really gets you out there. And it starts it. And you realize that networking isn't also about you. It's about giving value to the other person. And so it's important during the conversations to find, not focus on yourself, but focus on the other person and what's of interest to them and how can you help them. I think always asking at the end, or telling someone, if there's anything I can ever do for you, please reach out. It's real. You want this to be beneficial. And if something comes up where you can help somebody else, maybe you went to a networking event and someone was talking about a trip to Italy, and you come, you get on the computer and you see an article on this place in Italy that they're going, send them the article. It's really that, it's just being a human being.
Right. Take that extra step to show that you listen, you care.
Right. And it's not all about you, and you will be there for them. And you will find the more you're there for your network, the more they are there for you.
Exactly. So, you know, the other thing I wanted to ask you about, I had mentioned in your intro, building a book of business. if there is the, you know, when you go out and network, a lot of folks are passing business cards and not taking that extra step. What are some of the steps that you mentioned, you know, keeping in touch, well, as a mentor, sharing things. But if you're looking to build business with somebody, and it doesn't happen, sparks don't fly automatically the first time you meet, what can you do so that you can further the conversation and move toward a business relationship?
Right. And I think, at least in the legal field, I'm aware that it takes 7 to 20 contacts to convert meeting someone into business. And that's a lot of contacts.
That's a lot of contacts. I wonder if that goes across to different types of industries.
I'm not sure, but, you know, so what I'm trying to say is it doesn't happen all the time and people may not have a need. So I think it's really about trying to think of a way to stay in touch with someone and bring them value. So if you are going to be speaking at a panel or you're aware of an event that might be beneficial, send them an invite. Keep notes on what your contacts, if you have a CRM, a client relationship manager, that is a great way to put in like things. So you, when you're talking to your contacts, you remember who said what their needs are and what they're thinking about and try to meet those needs. And just, you know, if something great happens, send them. If you're going to be someplace, send them an award. I also believe that as soon as you meet someone, you need to send them a LinkedIn invitation, personalized, right away, telling them why you enjoyed meeting them, referencing it, not just one of those generic ones that, you know, fly off the shelf. And then I happen to be a LinkedIn junkie, I will admit it. And so when you see something on LinkedIn that they're posting, that something has happened to them, respond to it. If you're trying to, you know, people want that affirmation, people like that. So if they're posting something that maybe is of interest, then that you could follow up with a note on LinkedIn or an email, that's a great way of keeping in touch. If they get an award or they get a big decision or they, whatever, they're published somewhere, respond, you know, say something very personal. Don't just say congratulations, but maybe point out what you found helpful in it or if it was an article. So it's about, you know, trying to establish a relationship through social media and then try to bring in a person. You know, I've started doing Twittering before I tweeted. Sorry, I'm not Twitter. I call it Twitter. And my kids laugh at me. But I started doing that before I launched the business. And I started doing it. And I've met people through Twitter that I didn't know at all, unlike most of my LinkedIn contacts. And I've started to develop relationships with them. And some of them have been very helpful to my career.
I think Twitter also, I mean, LinkedIn, everybody knows it's business. Twitter, it's I see it as a lot of news,
right.
Put that in quotes. But I also find that if you can carve out the noise on Twitter and get to the heart of the information that you want, the people you want to meet, you can definitely build a relationship that moves from your main Twitter feed over to DMs, to emails, to, I can't tell you how many people I've met in person because of Twitter.
Right. And like, at least in the legal, there's like a lady lawyer's diary, which has a lot of the issues that are relevant to women lawyers. And I'm sure there are probably similar groups for different professions. And finding those right groups that you can follow, I think is really, it's a value add.
Sure. Do you think social media can help you reach your full potential?
I do. I absolutely do. I think in some ways makes it easy. Some people may say it's harder because now you have so much time you're spending on it. But if you think about before social media, how you marketed yourself and how much time and effort that was, people had to see you at a conference. You had to get their name to put them on a mailing list. Here, if you send out a newsletter and you post it or an article or a blog on LinkedIn and somebody likes it who you know, there it shows up in someone else's feed. So it gets amplification and it allows you to do some of the lighter touches without necessarily meeting in person. And so I do think it's very helpful in terms of career development. Does it replace totally face-to-face human contact? Absolutely not. But it's another tool in your arsenal when you're trying to figure out how you're going to move forward.
I'm glad you said that, because face-to-face for me will always be the best. I mean, I think it's great that, you know, I can see you as my guest on Women Worldwide, that we were able to do this on Zoom. But if we were in a studio together, it's so much better. But I'll take social media for all of the positives that it can bring. I mean, certainly there are some negatives that go along with the territory as well. Yeah. So, you know what, Sheila, I'm going to just ask you to hold your thoughts for a second, and we're going to shift our focus over to the sponsor of today's show, which is Routledge Publishing. And Routledge is one of the leading publishers of academic textbooks and journals in the world. And they also happen to be the publisher of my book, Answers for Modern Communicators, A Guide to Effective Business Communication. And Sheila, I don't know if you know this, but I answered over 150 questions in this book, all about building relationships, reputation, socializing your brand. So I thought it would be fun if you could answer one of the questions that I've already answered. So are you ready for
it? I'll get the answer right.
Well, you know what? You can, I'm sure whatever you say will be brilliant. No pressure. Your question is question number 57. What can you do to become a better role model?
One of the things that jumps out to me is be a better listener. To me, one of the most important communication skills that a leader can have is to listen to people with an open mind. When I've been with leaders that exhibit this skill, the effectiveness and engagement of their teams amps up tremendously. And not only that, you get better ideas. I've been also with leaders who haven't exhibited that trait. And what I have found is the teams stagnate. They don't bring forth their ideas. So you lose the ideas from the people who are often doing the work and understand the issues so much deeper than the leaders themselves. So to me, listening and being open-minded are probably some of the most important things a leader can do.
Excellent. Excellent answer. Thank you. I love that you said listening. That does help you to become a better role model. So thank you for answering, and thank you to Routledge for being our sponsor and for publishing my book. Okay, Sheila, we're going to dive back into our conversation.
Okay.
You know, we talked a lot about the full potential, the networking, social media. You know, along the way, there have to be challenges. So I guess my question to you is, what were some of the challenges that you faced, maybe reaching your full potential, or even when you launched your business, Focus Forward?
I would say, I'll talk about the business first. One is, it was, you know, going from having an SVP title to being an entrepreneur, I did not realize how much I identified with the title and the role. And so that switch of having to be on my own, and even though I now have a CEO title, it doesn't quite have it. A little bit of panache. That was an adjustment mentally. On a more mundane issue was for me as an entrepreneur was learning. I was blessed with a wonderful assistant for over 20 years. So learning how to do my own the financial aspect, the technical stuff. That it was difficult. I would say in terms of corporate America, and this goes with what you were saying about communication. Is being a better communicator with my team was something I always strived for. And certain blockers were now and then I thought they knew what was in my head and they didn't. I assumed because we were working together that they understood what the goals and stuff were. So I really needed to take more time in setting things up and making sure we were all on the same pages, and that to make sure that I was, you know, inspiring them to do the best work that they could do. That's my job as a leader. And I always strove for it, you know, and you talk about reaching your full potential. To me, it's sort of an aspirational goal. You're never there. You're always working because there's always something you can do better. And there's always some other challenge you want to take on. And if not, why work? I mean, you know, the beauty of work is to learn and improve and become a better person and human being. And
You never want to stop that.
Never.
Right. Always learning, always growing. So were there any skills that you didn't expect that you had to learn as an entrepreneur?
How to post on a website. And some of the finance stuff. And, you know, it's funny. I had talked about business development for years with the women that I was mentoring. And it's different when you do it. It's that time management is a big issue. As an entrepreneur, I could, you know, I have a lot of ideas and a lot of things I want to do. And there's not enough hours in the day. They're just
never.
So it's trying to set some boundaries because, you know, you have to take care of yourself too. There, you know, but time management and figuring out the best way to get things done and when you should be hiring someone or doing it yourself is, you know, some of the things I've thought about a lot.
Yeah, that's always a challenge. I find with entrepreneurs that we feel like, well, I could just knock that out in a second. Why would I have somebody else do it? But your time is so valuable. You want to be out there pitching your business, growing your brand. Some of the administrative tasks or things that somebody else could do, they should. And that helps to focus on what you need to focus on.
And nothing takes a second, no matter what you think.
I know. That's right. That's true. That is so true. Do you, when it comes to time management, I mean, as a busy entrepreneur, there's, like you said, there's always things, never enough hours in a day. We always want to do something else. How do you balance your free time, family time, relationships with your work world and owning a business?
What I've been doing is blocking time. And sometimes I block more time than I actually take, but by blocking some time, whether it's to get to the gym, to see friends, to give me some time to think, because that's one of the things that I think people underestimate, whether you're in corporate America or elsewhere or an entrepreneur, is now and then you just need to sit and think and give yourself a pause so that the brain works and start putting some of the connections together for you, and you become ineffective. So I've been trying to block more time for that type of activity. And while I may give up some of it, by blocking it, I end up with some at least.
Yeah, no, I think that's really important. There's always so much going on in the external world, whether it's related to work or family or whatever's going on, that you need time just to sit with yourself, because that's when your brain relaxes, right? And you can be more creative. I often find that I'm, like you, blocking chunks of time. Even if I know something might take an hour, I take a little bit extra, because that breathing, it definitely helps.
And you're more impactful and effective.
Right.
I really believe it. And even when I was a manager and a leader, I used to now and then tell people, go for a walk.
Step away.
You need to spend time with your family. You're not effective at this point. You need to get out of here.
Right. I notice, you know, I've had many types of clients over the years. But if I were to look at the corporate clients, a lot of the executives that I've worked with, it's meeting to meeting, to whether it's in the boardroom, to the phone, to run out, with so much of that going on every single hour on the hour, you're not stepping back and you're not letting things flow and you're not letting your innovation and creativity.
No, and that's why I think it's just as important for them and the corporate world to do, because I know people, when I left, I was having three meetings sometimes scheduled at the same time, let alone back to back.
Right.
You can't absorb, you can't be prepared, you can't be your best person if that's how you're functioning.
And exactly. So are there any, from the time that you were senior legal counsel, switching over to entrepreneur and running your business now, any big, I don't know, I'll call them either an aha moment where like something just clicked, or an uh-oh, boy, I wish that didn't happen, but wow, I learned a lot from it. Anything stand out in your mind?
More of a positive aha about how much I love what I was doing. And it was with a client, and I was just in my natural stride, and they were getting value from it. And I was like, wow, I know I spent some time thinking about it and taking a risk, but this was worth it. And I am so happy. And I don't want to say complete, because I don't think we're ever complete. But at that moment, I almost felt, wow, if I could just do this constantly, I would be so happy.
So what do you think stops people from feeling that way? I mean, that is just such an important moment that says I'm in my stride, I'm doing what I love, I've found my purpose. You know, you help people, you're a coach, you're a career consultant. What stops someone from coming to see you or even realizing that they are not reaching their full potential?
I think a lot of it is people feel that they're on a sort of career path and that part of it's out of their control, and it's not. I mean, you really can control your career. And we talked about, you know, full potential isn't about money or position. It's about finding the place that makes you your best self and your happiest. And so part of seeing a coach is actually exploring that and being honest with yourself and then dealing with what I would call the saboteurs, that maybe those little voices in your head that are telling you, don't do it, stay safe, stay in this position, don't do any risk. There's just a ton of other options out there. And people also undervalue the skills that they've developed as a technician and whatever their roles are and how many of them can be transferable. And I think that people just need to now and then take the time. Because whenever I've spoken to someone who's done this type of leap, I've never really heard anyone say they regret it.
Right.
So it's really about what makes you happy. And it doesn't matter that Joe or Jane wants to be, you know, have their name on the law firm door. If that's not right for you, then it's not right for you. And while I do a lot with lawyers and law firms, a lot of the counseling and talking to people is this the right profession or is this the right firm? Because you're not, unless the culture matches up with you, you're not going to be your best self. And even when I was in corporate America, I had those conversations with someone who was like crying with me in the office. And I'm like, you're in the office way too much to be this upset. And I'm not saying that corporate America isn't right for you, but right now the organization that you're in is not the right organization for you. And it takes time and you don't know what the other side is. So I think part of it is fear too, but
sure. It's
working people through that fear.
When somebody hears that, is that a shock to them or do they, you know, if they're crying to you and you then say, maybe this isn't right for you, is that a shock as, no, that's not it? Or, hey, maybe you're right.
Well, I've had two reactions. One, which is, well, what am I going to do? I'm sort of stuck. Right. Like the idea that they don't control and that they can't make the investment in their career. And it may not happen overnight. It may be exploring, building other skills, talking to your network. And then the other reaction I've had from someone said to me, you know what, that was like that moment where it was an epiphany for me when you said that to me, like, why am I doing this? And why don't I do something different? And that person actually took a break and then came back. So I've had both reactions. But if you get that sort of conversation with anyone, and you don't have to be crying to have that conversation. People who are just, you know, it's clear that they're unhappy. You know, think about whether or not it is time for a switch and what it would take. Because, you know, we spend so many hours at the office or at home working if you're an entrepreneur or wherever you work, that to be that unhappy is just, it's not worth it. And it takes such a toll on your, you know, your physical and your mental health that you need to get out.
Yes. What about, so making that change is definitely stepping out of your comfort zone. And for younger professionals, I think seasoned professionals step out and even though it's uncomfortable, they still find their way. But as a young professional, how would you know the difference between this feels really uncomfortable, but I'm headed in the right direction, which most seasoned professionals would know. Right. And oh my gosh, this is not good. This feeling is just not the way to go.
What I would recommend to someone who's earlier in their career is start talking to other people and this, you know, people who've either gone to where they think they want to go. And that might be the right career path as to what the journey is like. Talk to their peers, what I call a personal board of directors, someone who will tell you the honest truth. I have had a friend saying, you know, this is not the right role for you. And I've had a friend saying, I don't understand why you're not going for this. Both were valuable advice. And right. So I think you need to, sometimes we can't, we're so close to it internally that having an outside view or opinion as to what it's like is so helpful. But make sure it's someone you trust before you have those conversations.
Did this help you, the outside voices, the trusted members of your network or maybe your mentors, did this help you to shape your brand in a way that maybe you would not have done on your own?
Absolutely. I've had so many people say to me, you know what, I think this would be really good for you, but I might focus on this, you know, and this is what I think is valuable and what you bring to the table. It's different than anybody else. And then I had some people throw out some things that didn't feel authentic to me. And I was like, okay, that, you know, I tried it on, I thought about it. And it didn't feel like me, so I didn't do it. But you know what? It stretched me to think about myself in a different way. And I think you need to do that because now and then we sort of limit ourselves.
Right.
And rather than think about, you know, what we can accomplish, we think about what is safe and rational. So having people, you know, open up doors and think about, well, why are you only thinking about lawyers? And while I do not some work with some executives, but mostly lawyers, because that's mostly who I know in my network, when, you know, and the area that I know. But it's sort of people saying, have you thought about this? Have you thought about speaking in Europe?
I know it gets you to stretch a little bit more.
Right. Have you, you know, same thing, like you wrote your wonderful book and someone said, have you thought about doing a book? And I'm thinking, I hadn't, but, you know, maybe that's something to think about, you know.
Interesting. What about stress? So certainly being a woman in the legal profession, you must have had your fair share of stress. Are the stresses, what were they like, and are they just different now as an entrepreneur?
I like the stress as an entrepreneur much more because it's much more self-imposed.
And yes.
I don't know. The only person you're going to disappoint is yourself, where when you're in a company and you're working for a lot of people and, you know, or have even a team, you're responsible for that team. And when something's not going well, or there are reorganizations or something that are beyond your power, but you have a team and there are people you're responsible for in terms of making sure that they're in the best position. That to me was harder. The stresses now are, you know, they're there. I want to do better. But yeah. And I spend a lot of time. Yeah, it's so much better.
I know. It is so much better.
But in fairness, corporate America was great for me and I loved my career.
Yeah.
But I am, for me at this time, it's the right time, right place for this. And that was something else I would stress to people is, you know, we work, let's say you start working at 25, you're probably going to be working 30, 40 years. There are going to be different things at different times that are right for you. There are times when you might want your career, you know, not focus on your career because family issues are going on or something else. At different times, you need different things. And it's okay to switch sort of that path. And also the world is changing, so they may be needing different things from you. So it's just, you know, don't feel like you have to have a 30-year plan and that this is it. There are so many options and things that can come across along the way that are really wonderful.
And success changes. The definition of success shifts as you move from your 20s and 30s and you're sort of designing how you're showing up in your career. At the end of the day, today, in your role now, what does success feel like? What does it look like?
You know, it's funny. In some ways, success is the same thing as what I felt my legacy was at my company, which is helping people get to that full potential. Like when people ask me at the company what my legacy was I gave this company a lot of really strong employees that were very engaged and effective. And what I got out of that was these people, whether they stayed at the company or went elsewhere, really told me what an impact I had on their careers. And that to me is success. And that's what I'm hoping. Yeah, I'm hoping to have as I'm developing this new business. And when a client comes into me and says, wow, this is great. I got so much out of it. This is a value add. You've made a difference. That to me is a success story. I want all of my clients to be successful in the way they want success. And like I said, that can may mean leaving the organ, you know, leaving the field or going someplace else. But that's what I want. I want everyone to find what fulfills them and makes them happy in terms of a career.
That's fantastic. And you're not going to believe this, Sheila. We're almost done.
Wow.
With the episode. So I'm going to ask you the advice question, just sort of, I guess, summing up, because you've given a lot of advice throughout our talk. What advice would you give to professionals about stepping out of their comfort zone and reaching their full potential?
We, you know, if you have a child, and we've all had, you know, children in terms of getting out of your comfort zone, none of us does, you know, as parents, we push them in the pool, we put them on the two-wheeler, we move them outside of their comfort zone because we know it's best for their growth and their mindset. We need to now and then take the time to do it for ourselves and believe that we are worth that investment. So take the time, believe in yourself, and your dreams can come true. You can have a happier, more fulfilled career.
Excellent advice. Okay, last question, super easy. Where can people find out more about you and your work?
I am on LinkedIn, Sheila Murphy. 333 is my little thing. And then I'm on Twitter, Sheila Murphy _. And now my website is focus-forward-consulting. So if you want to learn more, please reach out and I'd be happy to talk to anyone.
Excellent. Sheila, thank you so much for all of your advice. We're all going to be thinking about focusing forward so we can reach our full potential. But you really shared a lot of excellent insights. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Anytime. And thank you to everybody for tuning in, for watching. Please keep letting us know how you feel about the guests and their incredible stories, like Sheila, who come on the show. So tweet us, share with us on Facebook, go to the womenworldwideshow.com website, sign up for the updates, subscribe to us on YouTube. But most of all, we just want to thank you. You're helping us to make a difference. Okay, friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.